Well, that was a rich time of worship this morning. Kevin, thanks for coming back for this special service and leading us. I sat there just thinking about just how cool God is in that he has drawn our hearts to believe and think and worship a God that we all agree possesses these traits, these beautiful traits and characteristics, that we have seen the glory of God, and we've learned and grown and seen more. I love the song this morning. It talks about just the glimpses, because really that's all we see at this point. It's just little glimpses of God's glory, just constant small revelations of different characteristics of God that have been so meaningful. And it's just good to be able to, you know, at this juncture in the life of this of our church, when we're about to expand into multiple locations, to just to hear those songs that have come out of this season, you know, that really just express what we feel about God and what we've come to know about God. And it's, those of you that are visiting with us today don't know it, but those songs are all, almost all of those songs were songs that were written by our worship team. They're songs that express messages that the Lord has given us. Which is more than just sermons for us. They are life lessons that God has, in most cases, has started in my life and certainly in other members of the worship team. But we've fleshed out and we've really discovered these things to be true about God. And it's such an enriching thing to think about for me, to think about the last 6 years of ministry and us moving into two new locations and sending Brandon and Mindy off to Turkey, and that we're all carrying, and Kevin off to New Iberia. You know, all these, the thoughts in my mind are God has given us a rich experience with him that has given us, y'all with me? Say, oh yeah. That has given us knowledge about him by experience that nobody can take away. And so we are ambassadors of that, that God is sending us out to proclaim that message. And so it was encouraging today to hear Kevin, whom we haven't heard in a while, you know, come back and sing those songs, knowing that he is being that minister, a minister of the things that God has given us, the truths that God has taught us from his word, that he's being that minister in another place where I'm sure a lot of times it's like a calf looking at a new gate. You know, it's like, okay, we don't really get it. We're going to sing with you because you sing real good. And we like the lyric and the beat, but it's going to take time for that to get into their hearts. And I think about Brandon, this, you know, today our purpose in worship today is to glorify God for what he's done in the life of this body, and particularly in the lives of Brandon and Mindy, what we see of God in them, and to do two things. One is to ordain Brandon today into the gospel ministry. And then number two is to commission them and send them out. This will be their last week in the United States before they go off to their mission field in Turkey. So it's a big day today for us. I share that with you to let you guys know this is a, you know, as we were singing today, one of the songs that we sang was a song that represented Brandon's heart. It was a song that Brandon and Kevin wrote together, but the lyrics came from Kevin. Just listen to this and how much it expresses the heartbeat of the gathering place. These are Brandon's words, okay? This is a guy that we're sending, that we're about to ordain, to say God has a call in his life, and it's a call that we as a church affirm. It's a call that we as a church want to put our name on. This is the heartbeat of Brandon. I was sharing with him a minute ago, you know, this is not something he's going to have to go to Turkey and make sure he has notes to be able to say, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing that. Number one, the M6 distinctives, right? So I'm supposed to be, am I doing M1? Am I doing M2? All this stuff is in his heart. He's already doing it. I mean, this is stuff that he's going to do because it's in his heart to do. This is who he is. And this is the kind of disciples that God's going to use him to create. But listen to his lyrics. Raise our sights up from death. Turn our eyes. Turn our steps from our ways to yours now. Bring us home. Lead us out. For we have feasted all we can on the dregs of sin and death. But you have promised greater fare, and in Jesus we are filled. So let our righteousness and our thirstings quench become one in him. Isn't that good? Let our righteousness and our thirstings quench, become one in him. All our longings cease and our hungerings satisfy as we are filled. And in Jesus we are filled. Turn our minds to you, Lord. Let Christ be our cure. That's good. With our lives we confess, in your ways we are blessed. So that's the guy that we're going to ordain today. This is the guy that from his heart has represented and will represent not only the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, but also the gathering place and the ministry, the unique ministry that God has given us, and we'll be reproducing saints across on the other side of the world. I just want to read this morning, and then we're going to have a testimony, and then Eric's going to come and give a charge to Brandon in regard to his life and his call as a minister. But in the scripture in Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says this. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, but must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For someone who does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Those are characteristics. They seem cold and calculated when you don't tie them to a guy like Brandon. But when you think about Brandon's life, as most of you are thinking as I was reading those things, even though, as I told Brandon today, all of us as elders of this church, we have those characteristics in an infant form in our lives. But we are pursuing those things. And I told Brandon, you know, there's never been a time since I've known him that I've not seen him pursuing those things, to be a man above reproach in all those ways that Paul mentioned in his letter to Timothy. Brandon has been that man, and any time that he's moved away or has sinned, remorse fills his life and regret. He is a man after God's heart, and I appreciate that about Brandon. I know many of you feel the same way. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand in affirmation of Brandon in his ordination, but let's listen to Danny Higdon, who's away today, but whose life has been was radically changed as a result of Brandon's ministry, and I asked him to share a testimony, so we're going to watch it via video. Quality's not good. This is the gathering place. We're not going to watch it on the internet, but we'll watch it together. So let's watch this.
Pursuing me in college in a way that was not about rules and regulations, right or wrong, but just in trying to form a relationship. I think that, you know, I was so turned off at that stage of my life by the church, you know, mostly because I wanted to run the other direction, but also just because everybody seemed to have a good list of rules for me, and one of the biggest influences in my life is a man pursuing God's will in my life and pursuing God's will for my household and my family. So, man, it's going to be a huge, huge sacrifice for our body to see you guys go. And we'll be praying for you guys and eagerly awaiting the day we see you guys again. We love you. Thank you so much for who you've been. And we'll see you soon.
I know that Danny's testimony is one among many. And as the elders have spent some time in counsel with Brandon today, and certainly we've been able to have sufficient opportunity to judge his life based on the standards of Scripture and judge his call, the elders are coming today to affirm the things that Danny talked about, to say that we see in your life, after having sufficient opportunity to judge that, we see you as a man of God, and we recognize the call of God in your life. And the elders would like to affirm that in him and ask for you as a church and his family also to affirm the fact that you recognize those gifts in Brandon, and as a way of testifying to that, if you would say, I see that, and I affirm the elders' decision to ordain and put this blessing on Brandon as a man of God, called of God, with the characteristics that we've just read about, if you will stand to signify that. Amen. Praise God. So look around, Brent. This is your church and your family. We recognize that. Thank you. You can be seated.
All right. Well, I have several things going against me this morning. Number one, I roam a lot when I speak. I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I'm a little bit ADHD. So standing still for me is a problem. And this is what this is going to make me do. Number two, I am not one of those people who can cry and communicate at the same time. And so Lori has already, where's Lori? Lori has already agreed to interpret blubbering for you this morning. So Lori, whenever you feel led by the Spirit, you stand up, give the gift of interpretation for us, please. Okay. So, Brandon, this is a charge to you, but I'm not going to be able to look over there very much. So I'm going to look over here, maybe even over here, while I talk. Brandon and I met. We actually, it's crazy, because in seminary, we were down in New Orleans together, and Brandon and Mindy and Lauren and I lived in Willingham, married student housing at New Orleans Seminary. Brandon and Mindy lived directly above us. Isn't that right? Like, you guys lived directly above us. And we didn't know each other at all. Right? Like, Brandon was the guy who worked in the cafe on campus, and occasionally I would see him out metal detecting on campus, which immediately told me how cool he was. The Lord, in his grace toward me, called us to LC at the same time in 2005. And I became student activities director. Brandon was the BCM director, and his job was to pour into college students and disciple college students. And I just want you to know, you've taught me more than anything you could have ever taught them. So, this whole idea of ordination for Brandon seems like we're a bit behind the curve, because he's been doing this for how long have you been in ministry? Yeah, for a long time. And so it seems like we're a bit behind, but like Glenn said, we're simply affirming what we already see to be true in Brandon's life and giving him our blessing. And so Glenn told me I had 15 minutes. Have I already started my 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's already over, actually.
My 15 minutes is done.
TGP time.
What can you say to someone and to encourage them in their ministry and their walk and the calling God has placed on their lives? So I, like Glenn said, and going through and looking at Brandon's life, Timothy and Titus, we see those things to be evident in you. And so I'm not going to spend any time there. So I'm just going to give you some, hopefully, very broad yet practical things for ministry and affirm some things that are already there and already evident. Matthew chapter 22. Starting verse 34, there's an interesting passage. It's one of my favorite because Jesus says some incredibly profound and helpful things in Matthew 22, starting verse 34. Here's what it says. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So they came to the creator of all that we know, the giver and sustainer of life, Jesus, to trip him up. And here's what they ask him. He said to him, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? How do you answer that? And Jesus knew how. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. It's of the same essence is what Jesus says. Not that this is part B. This is a continuation of loving your God. The same essence of loving your God with all that you are is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says something that gives us a whole lot of hope and brings me a whole lot of joy. He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. In essence, here's what Jesus is saying. You want to know what God expects of us? You want to know what God requires of us? Throughout the entire Old Testament and the spelling out of the law, the giving of the law, and the speaking and teaching and preaching of the prophets, you want to know what God expects through the entire Old Testament? Here's what it is. You love God with all that you are. Walk with a lifestyle of worship. And then give yourself away to others. And everything God expects of us as His children and as ministers is taken care of. So here are two very broad principles, Brandon, for ministry. I'm going to start backwards because that's how my mind works. Yep. Here's one. I pray that you always have a love for people. In Philippians chapter 2, I love the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, here's what Paul says. And this was revolutionary for me when I first read this. When I first felt the call of ministry on my own life and realized how incredibly ill-equipped I was and untrained and all of those things, here's what Paul says. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. It's mind-blowing for me. The man who wrote a majority of the New Testament and who was the greatest missionary to ever step on the face of the earth, talks about the qualifications that Timothy has for him to be a good minister to the people, and it was not his level of training. Paul didn't point out his ability to discern the word. Could Timothy do those things? Yes. Was he trained? Yes. But Paul said this, the number one thing that qualifies Timothy for me to send him to you and be secure and confident that he's going to take care of you is the fact that he has a genuine concern for your welfare. I pray that you'll always have a love for people. Here's what this love causes us to do. It causes us to give ourselves away. In that same chapter of Philippians, Paul talks about how he he pours himself out as a drink offering. That's not, those aren't words of comfort, right? Like, to pour yourself out for the sake of others. He talks about Epaphroditus, who almost died due to illness because he ran himself to the point of exhaustion for the church at Philippi. And then finally, Paul talks about Jesus, who, in his love for us, emptied himself of his God-given right to be worshipped as God and stepped onto earth and died on a cross. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we read this. Jesus, on his way into Jerusalem, says he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. You have been called to shepherd God's people. And so really quickly, I just want to give you three ways that a shepherd acts towards his people. It is your responsibility to protect the flock that God has placed underneath you. Here are two truths that are going to make this difficult. Sheep wander and wolves devour. And so you have a duty as a minister of the gospel to protect the sheep from themselves at times, because sheep will wander into some dangerous situations. And you have the duty to be courageous in the face of wolves inside and out who want to devour the people that God has placed under your care. So I'll pray for you that as you protect the flock, that you're courageous in the face of wolves and in the face of stubborn, wandering sheep. It's your responsibility to feed the flock. And the words to, is it Revelation, the Matt Redman song we sang this morning? It says, no one can sing of things they have not seen. You have to model for your flock through your teaching and through your life how to find their joy, their fulfillment, their satisfaction, their sustenance in Jesus. You have to, in your teaching, show them that. In the way that you live, model for them that their joy is found in Jesus and not all of the things that the world says they should find their satisfaction in. I loved this morning the elders had a chance just to sit and encourage and talk with Brandon. And Kevin said something this morning, and he talked about how Brandon was always coming in and excitedly talking about what the Lord had been showing him through his time in the Word. And Kevin used the word contagious, that excitement for the Word and for your delight in Jesus is contagious. So I pray that you'll just keep doing what you've been doing for all of us for so long. You continue to feed the flock. And the last thing is, it's your job to lead the flock, which means that it's going to require a great deal of self-discipline on your part to draw so close to Jesus that you very clearly discern the voice of the Holy Spirit and you follow Him and in turn lead the people behind you. That requires a great deal of self-discipline. I pray that God will enhance that in you and hard work to follow that. So it's your job as a shepherd, buddy, to protect the flock that God has placed underneath you. To feed the flock that God has placed underneath you. And to lead the flock that God has placed underneath you. So that's the broad principle of a love for others. But the first one that Jesus mentioned is a love for God and His glory. It's an all-encompassing love for God and His glory. A a kind of love for God that causes us to walk in a lifestyle of worship where there aren't compartments, where everything we are, we give to God in worship for the sake of His glory. In his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, John Piper argues that all of the functions of the church, so everything that you would be expected to do as a minister and to oversee as a minister, or whether it's discipleship or evangelism or missions, whatever it is, all of those things exist because worship does not. So you've said that yourself. A love for God and His glory means that you disciple people, but it's not just for they aren't the end. A good disciple isn't the end. Worship of a holy God who deserves it is the end. You evangelize. You've done it here with baristas, right? For how long have I heard you talk about building relationships for the purpose of sharing the gospel? But seeing someone saved is not the end. The end is so that a worshiper of God is birthed into the kingdom. You do missions. You're going to go and take your family, you and Mindy, halfway around the world. And it's out of a love for the Turks. You already call them your people. That's already your home. But that's not the end. The motivating thing behind what you're doing, the ministry that you have with the Turks, can never be the Turks. It has to be the fact that they are giving themselves in worship to something that doesn't deserve it. Here's what Piper says. There is a God-enthralled, Christ-treasuring, all-enduring love that pursues the fullness of God in the soul and in the service of Jesus. It is not absorbed in anthropology, the study of peoples, or in methodology, or even theology. It is absorbed in God. It cries out with the psalmist in Psalm 67 and 47. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Sing praises to our God. Sing praises, for God is the King of the earth. There is a distinct God-magnifying mindset. It is relentless in bringing God forward again and again. It is spring-loaded to make much of God in anthropology and methodology and theology. It cannot make peace with God ignoring, God neglecting, planning, or preaching, or puttering around. Here's how I've seen this idea fleshed out in you. You are one of the most incredible students of the Word that I've ever met. And sometimes, like Danny said, that's incredibly encouraging to me. Sometimes it's so convicting, I want to punch you. But here's what I love about you that's different from a lot of people that I know of that are incredible students of the Word. Your study always leads you to a place of worship. Knowledge isn't the end for you. Worship is. And so through your love and your passion for doctrine and theology, your doctrine leads you to doxology, to a place where you give praise. And I appreciate that. So here's my prayer for you. That your anthropology, your quest to know people, and you're a student of people, that always would be birthed out of your love for God and would always lead you and the people around you to a place of worship. That all of your training and the methodology that you just went through, learning those things, those principles, that all of those things would be birthed out of a love for God and lead you and the people around you to a place of worship. That your theology would be birthed out of a love for God, and it would lead you and the people around you to a place of worship. I'm going to be praying for you. We are going to be praying for you. And then this next season, where your ministry is going to take you to Turkey, I pray that your ministry would be characterized by a love for people that causes you to give yourself away. And a love for God that causes you to worship through everything that you do. Selfishly, I hope that after this season is over, God brings you back here. Whether that's 4 years from now or 40. And I'll be excited to minister alongside of you because I know this will be true. You're going to have a sacrificial, God-honoring love for people and a love for God that causes you to worship with your lifestyle. I love you. And it's been a huge blessing to get to know you as a brother.
Brandon, I'm going to ask you to come and sit. You've been challenged. You've been affirmed. Mindy, if you'll come also and stand behind him. You've been challenged. You've been affirmed, encouraged. We've shared some of the things that we've seen about you, and now the elders and other ordained men in this church today would like to pray over you. So if you'll sit here, and Mindy, you'll stand there. Bye. That's good. I'd like to invite anybody that's ordained to come and offer a prayer over Brandon. Cameron, would you mind just playing a little bit while we do this? And you can cut this too, please. Father, we've waited for this moment, prayed for this time. God, this is, Lord, we know not the culmination, but the beginning, Lord, of fruit going out to bear your seed. And Father, we just, I just love what you've done and what I see in Brandon. Lord, I acknowledge your call in his life. Father, I acknowledge your call in his family. Thank you for the work that you've been doing and have done in him, and for what you're going to continue to show him about yourself as he walks this out. Lord, I with Eric, just ask you to continue to grow him in his knowledge of you and give him more glimpses of your glory, that he might be overwhelmed by what he sees. And Lord, that all fear would be taken away as he goes to minister. Lord, that he would, instead of fear, would just become surrendered and more dependent upon you and trusting you to take care of him. Bless he and Mindy, Lord, as they go. We pray your greatest blessings on them. In Jesus' name. We want to close out our service today with a challenge to Brandon and Minnie and their family as we send them out today. Much of what's been said in regards been kind of hard to distinguish between really ordaining Brandon and also their calling to ministry, because we know where they're going. And as has already been said, their ministry has been happening for so many years already. But I want to give you guys a challenge, Brandon and Mindy, as you go to this site, and as I've been praying for you guys, just praying about what we would challenge you with as we send you out. The Lord brought 2 Timothy to mind, which Timothy's been what all we've talked about today, right? And Timothy is an awesome example to us, as Eric's already said, of a man who apparently was very special, specially gifted, and was special in Paul's ministry. And certainly there are things about that Paul said to Timothy that he didn't say to a lot of people, and there are things that Paul depended on Timothy to do in ministry that he didn't depend on a lot of others for. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 1 through 11, it says this, and here's a charge that I would give you. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound in chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So these charges out of this passage. First of all, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Yeah, one of the things that we just talked about over the last few weeks is certain distinctives of the ministry here at the Gathering Place. Things the Lord has taught us that we feel like we need to carry wherever we go. They're not methodologies. They're not theology. It's the things that Eric was talking about earlier. It's not anthropology. It's none of those ologies. But instead, all of that is fueled by the grace of God that we've experienced personally. It's been one of our distinctives as a church has been that we are motivated literally from the inside by what we've discovered to be true about God, about his grace and his glory. That's what motivates our ministry. And so Paul gives that to Timothy. He says, that's what strengthens us as we go out to do ministry. And our commission to you, we send you out with that to hold on to whatever you let go of. Don't let go of this one motivation. It's the grace and the glory of God that will keep you motivated. As you've already been challenged, I want to add to that challenge again from this passage, a challenge to be strengthened by the grace of God. Then he says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We just went through a long series talking about being missional people. And you are certainly an example of that. But I want to say this to you. Yeah, I've received this when I became a minister. When I felt called, I received this call from Paul to me. That I understand what Paul's saying to Timothy, and he's also saying it to me, or God is saying it through him, that God has given me, in the presence of many witnesses, he's given me truths. He's given me things that I can teach to others that are unique. They were unique to Paul, and Paul was able to give them to Timothy because he was had an absorbing personality and heart. He wanted to understand how to walk with God, and I give that to you also from Paul, but also from this church. There are things that I feel what Paul's feeling here as he's saying this to Timothy at the close of Paul's life. What are the last things I want to say to Timothy, who I may never see again, because Paul is in chains, and he says, "Those things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you teach and give to others. but specifically in this way, that they can give it to somebody else. So your job is not to go and teach, to give knowledge to people. It's to give your heart to people. That somehow, through the struggle that I've had to struggle with here at the Gathering Place, for different reasons, but somehow by the grace of God and through the mercy of God and by the power of God, that you would give them a heart for God, as Eric talked about, a heart for worship, that's your goal, is that you would produce other leaders, faithful men who would be able to teach others also. One of the things that we believe in here at the Gathering Place, and Kenneth and Christy have experienced this in its entirety in Uganda and are now back in Colorado, is what's called, it's been identified as the MAL approach, is that you model, then you assist, then you watch, then you leave. That concept or idea is the way Paul did ministry. And that's what we send you out to do, is not to go and be it all for those people, but that you would go and give them what you have. And then hopefully there would be a day whenever you would go to another mission field, another location, or maybe back home to minister here, but that you would go over there and model. Just be you. Just be you and be God's in front of those people. And that God would give you someone that you could teach these things to, that you could invest in, and that you could assist, and then eventually that you could just kind of sit back and watch, and then ultimately that you could leave there to do that ministry so that we can be missional people continuing to spread the gospel, and that is the good news about who God really is. Spread that around the world. He also says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. And the first of all, identifies what that's not, and that's that you don't get involved in civil pursuits. In other words, that you're not trying to feed your flesh or take care of yourself. Don't ever let that get in your mind, because you will suffer if you do that. If you start worrying about yourself and taking care of your own needs instead of letting God take care of that, then that will get you off target. But he says he encourages you to suffer in the way that a soldier suffers. A soldier suffers because he's committed to his king, to the task that the king has given him. And so as you're committed to that task, there will be dangers that will come. And you are committed to that task regardless of those dangers. So there may be suffering that comes as a result of you just being committed to Christ. We've all experienced that to a certain degree here, and it may be a much greater degree where you are, that God will call you to do something, and you will know it's from him, and it will cause you to suffer as a result of it. But just know this, God is going to take care of you, and you follow his plan, whether it brings suffering or not. Another way of suffering he talks about is one of a person who strives to win a prize. An athlete who is crowned because he's given great effort. In those days, you know, the kind of prize that a Greek athlete would win was a result of sometimes 10 months of preparatory training. And during that time, he had to give himself completely to preparation. You're about to do that in language school for 18 months. And there'll be other things. Man, that's suffering in a lot of ways. And there'll be other things that God will call you to do in order to be diligent in the job that he's called you to be in. And so I encourage you to suffer and to suffer well, as Paul says here. And he also says just the suffering of hard work. Gives the concept of a farmer who is tilling the soil. You know, just hard work. You just got to work every day. You got to get up and do it. You got to get up and make yourself embrace the power that you have in the Holy Spirit and move and work and move forward. After language school, when you have to get up every day and do something, just getting up and sometimes that will be very laborious for you, wearisome. It's going to require a lot of effort. But encourage you, as Paul did, Timothy here, to share in the suffering that comes with being obedient to God. Then he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David. And ultimately he says, for the sake of the elect, so that they can obtain salvation. And you know that you're there for that. That you don't ever get mixed up in what your call is. Your call is to be an ambassador of Christ, to share the gospel, to till the soil, to be used by the Holy Spirit to ultimately share the gospel and bring someone else into the kingdom. You know our philosophy here is to do that through blessing, and it's yours, and you've adopted that, and I praise God for that, but be on task. Be on task sharing the gospel, watching for God to provide those opportunities for you to share the word. You mentioned something a while ago. You said it's really simple, and it really is. What we talked about is very simple. Just realize how simple it is to do God's work. Wherever you are, whether it's in Turkey or it's in Alexandria, or it's in the middle of Pineville, or it's in Wardville, here's our ministry. Here it is. Here's the work of God for us. Love God. Love Him because you've discovered more things about Him. Love Him progressively. Let your faith grow. Let your knowledge of God grow. And let your love increase as you discover more about God in a different place. And then love others. And express that to other people. It's not that complicated. And don't let anybody ever complicate that for you. I appreciate the fact that Brandon shared with us today that his work and time with the International Mission Board has been very TGP flavored. That they embrace the same things that we've been talking about and challenging Brandon to do. And so you won't have any opposition there, man. Just work it. Work it. We praise God for the two of you. Praise God for your obedience. We know your story. We know how hard it's been. But we know that your heart is there and you're ready to go. I understand that. And so God's going to bless you as you go. And we want to put our hands on you and pray for you in just a minute. All right. Let me have a prayer for us, and then our worship team is going to come and do one more song, and then we're going to ask the congregation to gather around you to pray. Father, you've done such a great work, Lord, in Brandon and Mindy's life and their family. Father, I just want to ask you to continue that work. Lord, that you would strengthen them by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and Father, that they would discover those through your Holy Spirit's leadership that they need to be investing in. And Father, that they would be patient and wait on you. But Lord, regardless, once they find where you're at work and once they see the places they need to move, that they would be willing to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That whatever the cost, whatever it costs them, that they would put their trust in you and would not get entangled in worrying about their own fleshly pursuits, but God, that their aim would be to please the one who enlisted them. Father, I pray that you would sustain them, that you would empower them, that you would strengthen them. And Father, I pray that they would follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard, that they have heard from this place. And that in the faith and the love that's in Christ Jesus, they would minister that in the place that they're going, that you would give them wisdom on how to do that. Father, I pray that you would sustain them in language school, that you would give them the language quickly, that their children would be able to hear and grasp the language quickly, and that, Father, that you would remove all barriers to that. Father, I pray for their family here, that you would sustain them and empower them and let them feel your arms of support around them as they are releasing sons and daughters and grandchildren to go and do the work that you called them to do. And Father, for this congregation, I pray that you would do all that you would want to do through in us through their obedience, that we would be challenged, that we would be supportive in prayer, that you would guide us on how we need to support them in trips in the future and whatever it is that you want to do, Father, that we would be obedient to that and your will be done here as a result of their obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we wanted to do this today. This was probably maybe later in the year, maybe November or December of last year. I got a voice memo from Brandon that just said it was called TGP Musings. And it was him playing on the guitar, and he said that this was just the
Kevin, wait 1 minute because you're going to be interrupted. We're going to let the kids come in, then you can finish the story. I want him to hear this. All right, now good luck.
Yeah, good luck. But there was a voice memo that he sent. It said, TGP Musings, and it was him on the acoustic guitar, and it was Brandon singing. He said that this represented to him just a culmination of what he had learned at the gathering place and what the Lord had been showing him. And so we wanted to do that this morning. We took that and maybe changed a couple of things around in it, but we want to call it Kingdom Prayer. And this is not just a culmination of, I think, what the Lord has shown you guys for the gathering place, but also, I think, a culmination of what he has shown us together over the years that we've been together.
The scales fall from our sight. We want to see you, Lord, and call upon you from a heart that's altered by the wonder of the God who lives inside of us. It's you we want to see, astounded us by your beauty. Father in heaven, you have made us one by the
would you, in your family, where's Parker? Is he with you? Parker, you in here? Huh? Would y'all just get right there in the middle? Let me get his family around him. Y'all come on, stand around him. We're going to pray over him right here in the middle. The rest of y'all can just stand and we'll just kind of move our hands towards this way. Sound of little voices. Father, we again just come to you, closing this service out, Lord, and asking you, Father, just to release your power and release your love, release your protection, release your provision for this family as they go. God, may this be a great week of bringing closure to this season of ministry here. And Father, may you continue to burn in their hearts the desire to minister to the place where they're going and the people that you're going to bring into their lives. We ask your richest blessings on them, Lord, that they would come back different people, that they would know you in deeper ways, and their ministry would be richer because of that. Thank you for their lives and all that you're doing in them. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, this is what's fixing to happen. Somebody's going to have an offering plate at the back. And y'all can put your offering in there. And then also the CDs that we have. The first song that we did today, everybody clapped after. Radiant One is the first song on that CD. It's awesome. If you want to make a donation to that, you can. If you don't have any money, you can take one. All right, make a donation later. But they'll also be in the back. So if somebody would get those. All right, but if they'll be in the back, that'll make it easier. And then Maddie's going to be in the back. If anybody's interested in finding out information about the church, you can also ask Maddie about that. And y'all be blessed. Have a great day.